hard-hitting medical truth, cutting through conflict and confusion to the understanding you're searching for. Join Dr. Peter McCullough, world-renowned medical expert and practicing physician, for this edition of the McCullough Report. Your life may depend on it.
Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report, and I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. There's no bigger topic right now in American life and life across the world than the global pandemic, COVID-19, and really its next phase, and that's global mass vaccination. It's affecting all walks of life, even our pop culture. Let's listen to a few rhymes from this RC rapper.
What he told me to do. He said that I should lock myself inside my room for a year, shut my non-essential business down and cower in fear. I said, Doc, I don't know, that seems so out of line. Give it 3, maybe 4 days, I bet I'll be fine. He said, no, you must not, you must wait for the shot. Everybody's gotta get it or society stops. I said, Doc, I don't know, is that all really true? These shots are brand new, they ain't fully approved. He said, no, you can trust us, it's the latest in science. Never mind the people dying, just give up your compliance. I said, Doc, you must have me mistaken with someone pliable. I can't trust you if none of these companies are liable. So I'm gonna stay the course like a one-way road. Take your vaccine and shove it, I'ma just say no.
Just say no. Just say no.
It's a scam and it's all about control. So doing what they say won't make it go away. Oh no, but they don't know the lengths I'll go through rain and snow. I gang so I left the doctor's office and stepped onto the street, feeling troubled by the lies and campaign of deceit. But I'm not easily defeated, I'm not one to retreat. I tried to make a post about it, they deleted the tweet. Undeterred, I stood on the corner holding a sign. The cops showed up, I got arrested and fined. They told me that my words are considered a crime. Next, they'll be coming for the thoughts in your mind. I knew they were wrong, I took my ticket and left. They're trying to make it difficult for those of us who resist. And with every headline, the propaganda continues. Now they say I'm gonna need a shot to step in a venue. All according to script, going exactly as planned. Next, they're gonna wanna put a microchip in our hand. They say conspiracy theory, and that's all that they do. But it isn't just a theory if it keeps coming true.
And that's why I'm gonna just say no. Just say no.
Wow, just say no. It's not a conspiracy theory if it keeps coming true. And, you know, you just can't make these things up that's happening right now in society. So listen to that. That's a young man who came down with symptoms of the flu. He's going to be through it in a few days. He's going to be fine. The doctor said basically shut down his business and go into lockdown. Then he's presented with the vaccine. He says, listen, these aren't even fully approved. And the doctor says, listen, it's the latest in science. Just trust me. He said, don't worry about the people dying. And that's exactly what's going on in the United States today and across the world. We have topped over 5,000 deaths after the COVID-19 vaccine that are certified by the Centers for Disease Control Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, over 15,000 hospitalizations, over 200,000 overall safety reports, and it's thought this could be just the tip of the iceberg. There are data from previous vaccine studies and other converging sources of information to suggest this is likely to be tenfold underreported. That's right, folks. Over 50,000 Americans that may have died after the COVID-19 vaccine when it's all said and done. If these hold true at present, and certainly at these higher numbers, the COVID-19 mass vaccination program will go down in history as the most deadly and costly in terms of human lives and hospitalizations in the history of modern medical, pharmaceuticals, and biological products. By no stretch of the imagination, the COVID-19 vaccination program has really upped the horrors of the COVID-19 pandemic. It's as if the respiratory illness wasn't bad enough to throw the world into complete lockdown, social distancing, and isolation with only about 1% of populations actually even getting COVID-19. But it was the sheer terror of the entire illness and the sheer terror of it particularly affecting seniors and our most vulnerable citizens that threw the entire society into a tailspin. And it's been one shoe to drop after another. And it's getting to the point where we have a sociological outrage, if you will, among young people. There have been rallies in the last 2 weeks, one in London and then one in Italy. People rallying in large crowds demanding early multi-drug treatment. People holding up signs for hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Since when have we ever seen that in medicine where people are protesting for affordable generics to treat a very simple illness? COVID-19 can be manageable with a sequence of antivirals, anti-inflammatory and steroid medications, and then antithrombotic drugs. People know, the word is out, COVID-19 is treatable. We know that it's amenable to risk stratification, and only those at the highest risk need treatment. The word is out. We know that asymptomatic transmission doesn't occur. The word is out that we know that asymptomatic testing, all it does is generate false positives. So as we move on testing individuals who don't need to be tested, as we move on with a vaccine program, which at this stage is really setting its target on younger individuals, we see almost no mention of seniors or vulnerable individuals being vaccinated. All the focus now is on children, even down to infants. And I can tell you, as an internist and cardiologist in practice, I'm one of the few media doctors who actually sees and examines patients, and I'm responsible for COVID-19 and its outcomes in my internal medicine and cardiology practice. I have about 70% of my practice that's received COVID-19 vaccination in December, January, and February. I've had two patients that I've had to enter vaccine adverse event reporting incidents into the database occurring after the fact when I found out about it, one including a hospitalization for blood clots after either the Pfizer or Moderna vaccine. And at this juncture, I no longer view the COVID-19 vaccine as being sufficiently safe to recommend in the general population. It's past all the boundaries for a safe product. Now, I'll consider it on a case-by-case basis, but I've told the American people in a variety of venues, including national TV, that at this point in time, a COVID-19 vaccine is not generally recommended. There may be a select senior or high-risk person in a high-risk environment that could be recommended for the vaccine. But there are groups that clearly should not receive the vaccine because there are no safety data, there are no efficacy data, and there's very good reason the vaccines could be doing more harm than good. And they include COVID-recovered patients, patients with suspected COVID-recovered illness that can ultimately get antibody test or the T-detect test to demonstrate prior COVID-19 exposure, pregnant women and women of childbearing potential. Those are large groups in the United States. They should not receive the COVID-19 vaccine. And I think clinically, doctors and patients should consider those groups contraindicated. That means they should not receive the vaccine. Now, the doctor's decision on contraindicated takes priority over CDC, FDA, employer, or other agency, or other government agency recommendations. The doctor's decision on whether or not the vaccine should be administered takes priority. This is a very important point. If at some point in time the doctor's decision does not take priority, I think we're in trouble, because then we have government agencies, employers, other stakeholders determining your health. So as a listener and as a patient, reach out to your doctor, get square with what you want as the patient, and set that as your boundaries for your healthcare, because only you can determine what happens to your body. That's the principle of autonomy. You should be free of any pressure, coercion, or the threat of reprisal. If that's happening in your life, your autonomy is being violated, and it's time for you to speak up. The COVID-19 mass vaccination program is considered a clinical investigation. That means it's research, and you don't have to participate in research. All research in the United States has accountability to the Office of Human Research Protections, OHRP. And because the COVID-19 vaccination program is not being transparent on safety outcomes, does not have a critical event committee, a data safety monitoring board, or a human ethics board, nor has it produced any meeting minutes of its supervision or its internal audits, I think every person in America ought to file a complaint with the Office of Human Research Protections, OHRP. You can file it under the category of quality assurance, or you could file it under the category of integrity, or even under intimidation or abuse. We have to start taking action in America, otherwise we are being snowballed. And you can hear what RC Rapper said in that video, that in fact, we are gonna get snowballed and we're just gonna get steamrolled on this. And I'm so glad that a young person is standing up for what really is now a fundamental struggle for our rights in America, all based on a biotechnology push coming your way.
About to back down, I'm hopping in the saddle. I'm coming at it from a different angle, like a southpaw. The system is corrupt, so it's good to be an outlaw. I'm rallying the troops, I'm looking for the lions, who know that we will never get more freedom with compliance. If the passports happen, we won't get away with just one. They're gonna make us take a new shot every 6 months. It's only getting worse every time that we comply more. They take away the rights that our grandparents died for. Time to defy and let the vibes rise more. Make a better world for our kids, what we strive for. That means getting rid of all restrictions and masks, saying no to passports and resisting the jab. It's time to kick some dust up like an unpaved road. So join me and Chris Guy and just say no.
Just say no. Just say no.
Just say no, RC Rapper. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. Listen, we got a terrific show for you this week. Got some wonderful guests to introduce to you. And we'll get right into the content after this break.
Because of COVID-19, the average American worries about their immune health 4 times a day. That's 112 times per year. To minimize the worries, leading nutritional supplement company, Healthy Cell, created Immune Super Boost, an immune supplement that contains 15 full doses of science-backed nutrients like vitamin C, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea, all in a one-a-day pill-free gel pack. It tastes great, is convenient on the go, and it's more natural too, without chemical binders, fillers, and coatings. Supporting a strong and resilient immune system can be simple. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Immune Super Boost. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Today, America stands at the crossroads of history. Our actions will determine the fate of our nation. Well, that journey starts here and starts now. We invite you to join us in making the ultimate difference. Subscribe to our podcast and newsletters. Turn notifications on and stay in the know. You'll find all that back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report, and I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. It's my great pleasure to invite to the show Dr. Lindsay Berkson. Dr. Berkson attended University of Michigan and obtained her bachelor's degree. She went on and got a master's in nutrition from Goddard University and then went to Western States as well as National Naturopathic School of Medicine and trained in naturopathic medicine. She was a scholar in a biometric nutrition and health center at Tulane University for many years. She moved on to Austin, and she where she lives now, and she participated in a lot of innovation in the development of novel integrated techniques in managing dialysis patients, particularly those at home. And now she lives in Austin. She travels at least once a month to Florida, where she is a contributing scholar in an academic health, nutrition, and wellness center. Dr. Berkson, welcome to the McCullough Report.
I am excited to be here. I am now one of your biggest fans, and I love to help share information so that other people will come away from this and feel that they've got some pearls to keep themselves stronger.
Well, we are in hot pursuit of saving as many patients and families as we can from COVID-19. We've made great strides, but one of the things we have not covered is what can patients do themselves at home in terms of things that they can do in their own health and understand their own health and not acquire the virus. We think probably people do come in contact with a virus and some people don't get it. Help us understand more.
Boy, you know, I don't understand why our health experts have not been talking about this. So I appreciate that you are shining a light on this. Your own internal fitness, your own internal wellness has so much to do with your two stages of your own immune system. You have some power in this. You are not just a helpless victim waiting for the virus to lift up your window and jump in while you're sleeping and get you. There's many things that you can do. So your own wellness is the first thing. And so what would that look like? So one of the first things is the way that you eat. Your choices every time you have a fork in the road. The reason I say this is that your food in a very rapid way affects your biomes. So you have microbial life. They're bacteria, viruses, and fungi, many of them symbiotic and helpful, and they help rule your immune system and keep you healthier. And we've been discovering that people that have healthier microbiomes tend not to get COVID as often or tend to get less severe cases of it. So when you eat highly processed food, a lot of junk food, you drink too much alcohol, you have too much high fructose corn syrup, you damage your precious biomes, and that makes you more vulnerable. So your food choices, number one, you want to have a colorful set of choices. Everyone who's healthy should have at least five different colored vegetables a day. They're unhealthy. When I deal with renal patients or breast cancer patients, I have them go for 10 colorful divergent vegetables a day, but just five. Most people don't do that. If you consume five veggies and fruits a day, that helps you make a much better biome. And one of the other things that we've learned is vitamin D. You talked about the nutraceutical pack. And we talk about, you know, you can go buy vitamins, and we've seen that vitamins aren't curative, but they're supportive of your immune system. But what might a poor diet do to some of your vitamins, even if you're going to the trouble of buying them and swallowing them? So for example, vitamin D is kind of a complex pro-hormone. It's a pro-hormone and a vitamin. We know that the more vitamin D in a healthy level you have, the less your risk of getting COVID. As it goes lower, the higher your risk of being hospitalized. As it goes even lower, below 12, you have a higher risk of being intubated. Well, it turns out that high fructose corn syrup deactivates the enzymes that activate vitamin D. So even though you go to the trouble of swallowing a vitamin D capsule or being outside in the sun, if you're consuming a diet high in high fructose corn syrup, you don't utilize your vitamin D.
So what would be some examples of common sources of high fructose corn syrup?
So if you look at pastries or cookies or things that are processed, croissants, candies. All you have to do is read the label. And if it says high fructose corn syrup, understand that that is blocking your body's capability of activating your vitamin D so that it can help keep your immune system stronger.
I think most people don't know that. So they're taking vitamin D supplements, but they may be eating things or taking things in that's actually working against it.
Exactly. Most doctors don't even know that. So often nutrition and health is a tapestry. So just because you take something doesn't mean you use that. And how you eat and live is the bigger picture of how well you can utilize that. For example, we know that obesity is a real complication with COVID. The more body mass you have of fat cells, the higher your risk.
But why is that? Why is it? Is it just the fat itself, or is the fat just a proxy for poor fitness and bad diet?
You know, it's probably multifactorial. One of the biggest things is that fat can act as its own nasty organ and release pro-inflammatory cytokines. These are molecules that stir up inflammation. And the more inflamed you are, since COVID is a vasculotropic, and then when it gets worse, pro-inflammatory disease, if you already start out inflamed, you're more at risk of going into trouble if you get COVID.
You know, what do you think about underlying sleep apnea? I saw a patient in the office the other day. Is a patient was very obese and she had sleep apnea. And when I had her lay down so I could listen to the heart, she could barely lay flat just with the obesity in her upper chest and her neck. And I just thought to myself, I said, boy, if she got COVID, I don't think she'd do too well.
You know, that's so interesting. Sleep apnea is on the rise, of course, in obese patients because they have lax muscles and they have a lot wider girth, and that puts pressure going upward that creates some of the circumstances that make sleep apnea. But I was at Starbucks a few months ago and I saw a gent that was in scrubs. So I took my cup of coffee and I sat down next to him and said, hey, what do you do and what are you up to? So he said, I'm a pediatrician. So I said, well, what's new in Pedland? And he said, boy, you know, I am seeing so many kids that have sleep apnea. It's unbelievable. And I said, well, are you talking about obese kids? He said, it's not just obese kids. It's even regular weight kids, 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. They're sitting in front of the computer. They're sitting in front of their iPad and they have their neck jutted forward, which gives you kind of simulates what happens in a heavier person with all this body mass and weak musculature. And what people don't know is if you were to put in sleep, if you go to PubMed.gov, which is the free source of the NIH of showing you all the abstracts of what's been peer-reviewed, published, and some that aren't peer-reviewed, and you put in sleep apnea and pediatrics, you'd be shocked to show that it's causing an epidemic of fatty liver. That people with sleep apnea tend to have a much higher incidence of an inflamed liver. And then this gives you higher blood sugar levels. This gives you higher insulin levels, and this makes your body inflamed. So as a culture, many people in America today are walking around in a pro-inflammatory state, which means if you hit a virus that's lifting up your window and creeping into your house while you're sleeping, you have less immune guns to fight it.
Okay, that's actually, you put that together very nicely. In fact, the immune system may already be revved up. And in COVID-19, that's the problem. The immune system goes into overdrive with cytokine storm and that trips off the blood clotting. Patients who are obese are already prone to blood clotting. So these things really piece together. So let me ask you this. The average person, there's only 1% of people in the United States who have gotten COVID. There may be another several percent who have had it but haven't had testing. For everybody else who's not had COVID, whether they've had the vaccine or not, they can still get the virus. Would you recommend that patients, in a sense, improve their nutrition, improve their supplement profile and exercise, in a sense, to get ready to make sure that they either don't get COVID or if they get COVID, they could survive. Do you recommend lifestyle changes right here, right now?
Exactly. I love the way that you put that, Peter. You know, I deal a lot with breast cancer patients over the last so many years because I had breast cancer many years ago. So they're one of my favorite patients. And I always say to them, you want to make your remission your mission. And you have to train for it like you're training for an Ironman, because the fitter you are, the less you'll have a recurrence, or if you have a recurrence, you'll be able to cohabitate with it. So the fitter you are, the less you get ill, the stronger your immune system is. That's your number one thing. Be strategic in how you live. And it's also not just for COVID, although we're focusing on COVID. It's for being younger longer, having a healthier life, or for whatever shows up, because most of us will get injured or get an illness. But the fitter you are, the more you have vitamin R, resilience, the quicker you'll get over whatever you were exposed to and maybe even come out better. And that is the whole point of being fit. People who are fitter do not have as difficult time with COVID. So start getting fitter right now.
Well, I can tell you, it's unfortunate that the McCullough Report is just audio, but after listening and seeing Dr. Berkson live, I am so motivated to go out and exercise right here, right now, and improve my diet and be ready to survive anything coming my way. Dr. Berkson, how can our listeners follow you?
They can go to Dr. Berkson's Best Health Radio, and it's on numerous platforms. If you don't know exactly how to get to some of these platforms, you could first go to my website, which is Dr. Lindsey Berkson.com. I have blogs. I have many books out, and I try and serve people. I also have a membership. So I normally teach CME courses for medical docs and pharmacists. That's what I've done the last 20 years or so. And over the pandemic, all of those were stopped. So I opened up a membership so I could keep up my lecturing chops. And it's ended up being a really cool group at several levels where we share a lot and we talk a lot and we intervene. So if you're interested at all, just taking a look around at what that means, you could go to my website, drlindseyberkson.com/membership, and take a look at what we're offering right now.
Well, I can tell you, I think the listeners of the McCullough Report are going to rush to the Berkson site. She is smart. She's young and beautiful and dynamic, and patients should follow her.
And now from a word from our sponsor, Healthy Cell. Looking for better sleep, focus, and energy? Check out Healthy Cell, the leading innovator of nutritional supplements for cell health. Most vitamins haven't been upgraded since the 1930s, and Healthy Cell has reinvented vitamins. Healthy Cell vitamins work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger. Absorb a healthier lifestyle with Healthy Cell's pill-free vitamins. They come in packs, and they are like a gel pack that you would use while running or exercising. It's made with maximum absorption technology. Healthy Cell vitamins feed our bodies at the cellular level. Even if your vitamins aren't hard to swallow, it's still time to upgrade to Healthy Cell's pill-free supplements in their gel packets. Our cells determine how we feel, perform, and how long we live. That's why I take Healthy Cell vitamins. Now, supporting our immune system while we're on the go can be simple with Healthy Cell's immune-boosting nutrients in one-day travel-ready gel packs. Combines over a dozen immune supplements into one travel-ready gel pack. These are packs that you'd use, you'd be similar to what you use potentially when you run races, marathons, or half marathons. I have all the Healthy Cell product lines, and I use them at the right times during the day, and I can tell you I feel great. Let's get real. Let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report.
Now, never before in our history have we witnessed the level of hatred that is now being waged against our law enforcement. While anarchist groups create havoc and overwhelm our first responders, these same groups and their corporate supporters are calling for the police forces to be shrunk and defunded. What can you and I do to make a difference? How can we stand up for what is right and to show our support? That's what I'm going to tell you about this incredible new platform. It's called shoptotheright.com. It's a new shopping platform that will help you find businesses that align with your values. They feature products made in America. They support veteran-owned businesses, as well as our law enforcement community. This is a time when we need to stick together. We need to shop together, and we need to support each other. It's time for you and I to make some noise and stand up to protect our country. And one easy way to do that is to shop and give our money to companies that don't seek to destroy our way of life. So join the fight for liberty. ShopToTheRight.com. Support those American businesses that support law enforcement and veterans.
Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report, and I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. It's my pleasure to invite to the show Dr. Ken Gross. Dr. Gross received his bachelor's degree from Colgate University, medical degree from the State University of New York at Stony Brook, and did internal medicine neurology training and received his residency certification at the Albert Einstein School of Medicine, Montefiore Medical Center. Ken is in practice now as a neurologist and has really turned his attention in the pandemic towards the COVID-19 long hauler syndrome. Ken, welcome to the McCullough Report.
Thanks very much, Peter. Great to be here.
We've heard a lot about COVID-19. It's a terrible inpatient illness. We can manage it as an outpatient, but we really have a problem on our hands with just millions of people coming home forward with COVID long haul or long COVID syndrome. Can you describe this to the audience? What is this syndrome?
Well, it's now becoming quite common, and manifestations include problems such as fatigue, problems with concentration, so-called brain fog, difficulties with certain sensory modalities like loss of taste and smell, and some dizziness may also be a problem. So combinations of these neurological problems, of course, there are other systems involved, are not uncommon in this long hauler syndrome.
Now, you know, I've read reports that if patients are admitted to the hospital and they're ill and need the ICU, that up to 50% of patients can end up with a long haul syndrome. So is it related to prolonged illness and severe illness?
It would seem that it's quite common in that subgroup, Peter. On the other hand, it may occur in individuals who have had mild acute COVID and residual from that. And that gets into, I'm sure, this area you wanted to discuss is what's causing this precisely. Lead the way with any question on that one.
Well, the first fair question is, are there any parallelisms? Does this happen after influenza? Does this happen after respiratory syncytial virus? Does this happen after mycoplasma pneumonia? Does it occur after other respiratory illnesses?
In my experience and in neurology literature, it can occur after some of those illnesses you mentioned. And on the other hand, we have a completely different disorder here that we're dealing with that really hasn't affected mankind up to now, which is that it's quite common after this simple viral illness to have chronic symptomatology.
Now, you're a neurologist, and I think it's no mystery why patients with long haul syndrome are coming to you. Most of the symptoms you mentioned are neurologic. So is it possible that the circulating virus or the spike protein itself could get into brain or nerves and be directly damaging to those tissues?
It's quite possible, but according to Dr. Avi Nath at the NIH in a recent study, he can't find the virus in the brain. On pathology studies in many of these individuals with acute and chronic COVID. Now, the question is, what is the mechanism then if you can't locate the virus? There may be residual virus, viral fragments, hidden virus, or some other phenomenon, and I guess we could discuss autoimmunity as might relate to these persistent symptoms.
Well, we've seen, well, one thing with the virus has been notable is a particular cytokine pattern. Now, the listeners should understand that cytokines are just small little proteins, cell signaling mechanisms by which cells signal to one another. And one of the things in my field in cardiology that caught our eye are very high levels of interleukin 6. Now, there's a whole family of interleukins, and they communicate between white blood cells. That's where the word leuk comes from. And these interleukin 6 is just unique how high it is. And we had previously published a paper from my center, Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas, where interleukin 6 was related to arrhythmias in the heart, that it almost, you get to a certain level of a cell signaling factor that's very abnormal, that it starts to cause, you know, organ malfunction. Are there any patterns with the current markers or things that we can measure that seem to be related to long haul syndrome?
Yeah, you have, as you mentioned, interleukin 6, IL-6, IL-1 has been known to be elevated, tumor necrosis factor, C-reactive protein has been elevated. There are a host of these markers, and of course, we are now getting into another related area on this autoimmune front, which is a vasculopathy, perhaps a vasculitis, perhaps something akin to systemic lupus erythematosus that is going on in these chronic long hauler patients or even other patients with cytokine elevation that you're mentioning, that is akin to somewhat mysterious lupus symptom complex. I certainly know that from your cardiac point of views and renal, where you've done a lot of work in the cardiorenal area, these are common areas where lupus affects it. Now you have anti-cardiolipin antibody elevation in some acute and chronic COVID patients, and they're also elevated in some SLE, some lupus patients. So I throw it back to you. How much do you think may be a vasculitis phenomenon akin to that rheumatologic disease that we continue to deal with in COVID-19?
Well, Jun Zhang in our research group at Baylor has had a series of publications. He thinks everything is related to the vasculature, that we know that the circulating spike protein, whether it's on the natural virus or now it's the circulating spike protein after getting vaccination, that the spike protein itself damages endothelial cells, the cells on the inner lining of blood vessels. And since the blood vessels ride throughout the body, this is where we have the manifestations. There are ACE2 receptors that the spike protein interacts with loaded in the endothelial cells. And the spike protein, we know itself is deadly to these cells. In fact, it provokes injury. And it may be that the acute effects, you know, the nasal congestion, the loss of taste and smell, the respiratory symptoms, that may be kind of acute parenchymal injury. And then what we see later on is vascular injury. I saw a patient recently who had received the vaccine. I saw her in the office, and she clearly had a vascular syndrome. She had evidence of both arterial and venous vascular damage, and I put her on medications empirically for that, basically antiplatelet medicines and blood thinners for it. But it appears that we are in for the long haul with the COVID long haul syndrome. What can we look forward to? How long is this going to last for
people? Well, just parenthetic to what you just said, I mean, there have been some long hauler patients who have noted a positive response, particularly to the second of the dual Moderna or Pfizer vaccination. So that would seem to suggest that antibody jolts or increased levels of antibody may help get rid of some of this residual virus. So maybe that's the good news, and maybe we'll need additional antibodies against different variants, if necessary, spike protein component. And then you have other positive provocative antivirals that have been used in the past, and perhaps hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin may have some role for these long hauler patients as well, some through vascular related effects. We know that a subgroup of acute patients definitely benefits from corticosteroids. And it's my contention that there are long hauler patients who would benefit from strategic use of corticosteroids. Again, we need some biomarkers to define who's who has what due to what. And this is a pioneering effort. We're in new territory here.
Right. So we clearly need, the syndrome is starting to be defined. We clearly need some endpoints that can guide us. It'd be wonderful if we had some type of intermediate endpoints like biomarkers or other physiologic tests. But in the end, we want to make people feel better. And I think the best we can do now is this paradigm of acute extended use. So we use some drugs acutely, but we know they may have some extended use. I mean, one of the best ones is hydroxychloroquine. We use it for acute systemic lupus erythematosus, but we don't stop after 10 days. We actually extend the use. The same thing for acute rheumatoid arthritis. Ivermectin is quite interesting. I have one of my patients with long haul syndrome, and a long distance consultant from Yale, who's quite an expert on this, actually has the patient on, he had it acutely, but he has an extended use ivermectin. There's another acute drug that doctors are trying, including myself, and that's fluvoxamine. That's a serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor, Fluvox. And it did have some benefit acutely, and it may be along that neurological axis of acute COVID-19 syndrome. But to me, that makes a lot of sense in extended use, because another factor that's with this long haul syndrome seems to be kind of almost anxiety or depression or despair, Ken.
Well, I think, Peter, you're hitting another very important point. That there's the neuropsychiatry of long haul COVID. People can action psychiatrically to having such a disturbing illness, subacutely or chronically, that is separate from the neuroimmunology or the vasculopathy that we're talking about. So it wouldn't surprise me that you see that response to a serotonin reuptake inhibitor based on the trauma, the distress of simply having this chronic, mysterious post-viral or continuing viral illness. So I think that's there's a great role for psychiatry in this, in helping to sort out what is reactive to the illness and what is related to the immunology of the illness. Of course, there's tremendous overlap there, but and some of these serotonin reuptake inhibitors by themselves may have immune modulating effect. But I think what you said about hydroxychloroquine is right on as well, because here's a drug being used for decades for lupus, but we're not exactly sure how it's helping chronic symptomatology and even other phenomena in lupus, such as coronary thrombosis or cerebrovascular disease. So I think we need to open up a new wing of research related to the long hauler subgroup.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned research. I find it interesting that almost every academic medical center had zero to offer acute outpatients with COVID. They didn't have any COVID treatment clinics. They didn't put any tents out. They didn't help patients a single bit when they had acute COVID as outpatients. They managed them as inpatients if they had to, but they were absent in measuring and handling acute COVID patients. Now every academic medical center is opening up their doors to long COVID. They've got long COVID clinics. And I know in Dallas, they have, and so it's interesting. Once patients are no longer infective, now all the academic doctors want to see them. But when they're acutely ill, these doctors didn't have an ounce of courage to see or take care of these patients. It's really such a parody.
Well, and I think it is so interdisciplinary by nature of this disease, where, you know, where are the rheumatologists stepping forward here? To me, they should be right in the forefront with people like yourself. And also neurology had went through a period where it was rather nihilistic in terms of, well, we can't find the virus, so get over it. These are just very sick people in the ICU. And now we're saying, wait a minute, they're not very sick people in the ICU anymore, and they're still sick.
Right.
So neurology is jumping on board as well.
Well, it's clearly multidisciplinary. I do think rheumatology, neurology makes a lot of sense. For my patient profile on the website, I said, listen, I had COVID myself. I know what it feels like. I welcome post-COVID patients in my clinic. We can suffer together. I'll do the best I can, but I'm glad these post-COVID clinics are popping up in academic medical centers. These patients clearly ought to be amenable to clinical trials. It's going to be much more organized, and clinical trials will help sort things out for patients in the future. Ken, do you have any final words for our audience?
Well, we'd be remiss not to mention endocrinology involved here and how much more we need to learn about that. Some male, female differences in terms of chronicity of this illness, where females tend to have more reported cases, but maybe that's because some of them tend to want to go to the doctor, the outpatient doctor, more commonly than males. And on the other hand, you have the other factors like obesity, which would appear to predispose certain people to long-term effects of this disease. Now, is that an endocrinological phenomenon, or is it related to other cardiovascular issues that may be involved? We don't know all the answers yet.
Okay. Well, Ken, it's been a terrific interview. I learned so much. I want to thank you for joining me on the McCullough Report.
Thanks for having me, and I hope to be in touch very soon. Thank you, Peter.
Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report.
As we celebrate our 5-year anniversary, America Out Loud has expanded its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutloud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report, and I'm Dr. Peter McCullough. It's a pleasure to have an introduction to a terrific scholarship, a terrific work of art, really, of literary art, and have Dr. Peter Bregan join us and tell us about his upcoming book.
Well, it is wonderful to be here. You are one of my heroes, Dr. McCullough. I've been inspired by you and your group, and I want the folks out there to know there's a lot of us fighting for our freedom right now. And the menace right now is the vaccine. The menace now are the people behind the vaccine. When I started looking at COVID-19, I expected to get into the usual shenanigans I knew all about with the drug companies. I've been a medical expert in innumerable suits against the drug companies, and I knew that they were untrustworthy, and I knew that they cared about profit and profit and profit and not a lot else. But the more I dug in, it was like an awesome, awful realization that all the people were connected together, whether you're talking about Fauci or Bill Gates or the World Health Organization or the big journals, or ultimately, if you're talking about communist China, they are all working together. Not a one of them's an American patriot. Not one of them wants to see this world run by democratic republics like the United States of America. Not one of them want to give freedom out. And they talk about having smaller families, and they talk about smaller populations, and they talk about people eating better, and they never say, and so we need to empower people. We need democracy. We need freedom. They never go there. They always go to this cabal that they have. They even meet at conferences. These people meet with Xi Jinping, who is the head of communist China. He's the most powerful gangster in the world. And that's who they owe their allegiance to. It has been mind-blowing. Pfizer, for example, is connected to a German group that's connected to a Chinese group. During COVID-19, and I got the documented in the book, the 400 Chinese billionaires have together 60% in their worth. The whole bunch of them have gone up like that. They're outdoing our top 15 billionaires who've gone up 50%. So what we're facing here is something much, much greater than COVID-19. That's burning out. That never was such a huge threat. They had to lie about it to make it a threat. The real threat is worldwide totalitarianism. That's what is moving behind this. I call them the global predators. This book by my wife, Ginger, and myself, this book was so unexpected to us. It will be unexpected to you. But there is a way to understand what's going on in the world right now. So please, for your own sake, for the world's sake, get a hold of COVID-19 and the global predators. My wife set up a special website for it. You can order it now. And when you order it, you will immediately get the manuscript free. And it's a very up-to-date manuscript because we're getting nearer and nearer to publication. We expect to be published in early July, hopefully, but we will get you the manuscript, which is very close to going into publishing now, into the final stages. We'll get it to you immediately. Go to wearethepray.com, wearethepray.com, and order the book, and then get the book and read it and look at this incredible piece of work we've done, the chronology, which shows you, and this is really our closing terrifying insight, that this thing was planned. I never expected to find that. You'll see the plan work out over 5 to 7 years. That's the immediate plan, because 5 to 7 years ago, they were planning warp speed, Operation Warp Speed, with the drug companies, with Fauci, with the Gates Foundation, with all the people you've been hearing about and many, 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 many more you're going to hear about in the book. They were planning this. And it wasn't just to get rich and powerful and wealthy. It was actually to create top-down government in this world today. And that's their ultimate goal. They want to be totally rich and wealthy and powerful. They want to be in control.
Thank you, Dr. Bregan. And I can tell you for the listeners, having been invited to write one of the introductions, that this book is a bombshell. COVID-19 and the Global Predators, We Are the Prey, Peter R. Bregan and Ginger Ross Bregan, is an absolute bombshell. The single most common question I get on the national media circuit is, Dr. McCullough, why is all this happening? And what are the objectives of those who are making this happen to the populations all over the world? And I tell them, go to wearethepray.com, download the manuscript, get a copy of the book, and look forward to future updates to the timeline in the manuscript. It is a complicated web. There are over 1,000 citations and growing. There are so many interconnected entities. There is such a complex interrelationship between malfeasance at so many levels, and the human suffering has just not even started yet. And you can just see this playing out right now. The tension is so strong in our societies. This will probably be the most important book for us to hang on to understand what is going on and to be able to take the right next steps in each and every one of our lives. Let's get real. Let's get loud on America Out Loud Talk Radio. This is the McCullough Report.